Question: do the ends justify the means? As your Mahabharata explanations imply, often terrorists who victimize innocent people say that although they are committing violence, that is necessary to promote their good ends of establishing the rule of religion. So, once one accepts that the ends justify the means, then anything can be justified in the name of promoting good ends. Is this the inference of the Mahabharata also? Answer: no, not at all. First of all, when the Mahabharata says, when the Mahabharata talks about the means, means being justified by the ends, we have to understand carefully what it means. In general, in the Vedic culture, there are three kinds of nitis, law codes mentioned. Not exactly law codes, but basically codes. So there is Brihaspati Niti, there is Shukra Niti, and there is Kanika Niti. So Brihaspati Niti is that the end should be good, the end should be moral and virtuous, and the means should also be moral and virtuous. Brihaspati is the priest of the demigods. Shukracharya, after whom the second Niti is named, Shukra Niti, is the priest of the demons. And his policy is that the ends justify the means. So the demons, in order to conquer the demigods, often use illusions and tricks and deceptions. And their idea is that that is justified. So Shukra Niti is the ends justify the means. And the third is Kanika Niti. Kanika was a Brahmana friend of Shakuni. And when Shakuni wanted to use devious means, evil means, to destroy the Pandavas, Dhritarashtra had apprehensions. Dhritarashtra, although he was attached to Duryodhana, still he had some morals and some conscience. And he hesitated to comply, to be complicit in Shakuni's evil schemes. So at that time, Shakuni brought Kanika, and Kanika told him that actually, if somebody is your enemy, whatever is required, you should do it. And there should be no hesitation to adopt any means for the sake of the destruction of one's enemy. Now, there was no mention at all in Kanika's talk about dharma, whether one is following dharma or not. The only dharma is one's own prosperity. And whether that is in harmony with higher principles of life, higher goals of life, was not at all a consideration. So this is neither the ends nor the means matter. Only one's own prosperity, only one's own success matters. Now, the Kanika Niti is universally condemned in the Vedic culture. Actions which are performed without consideration of either their means or their ends are not accepted at all. They are considered very bad. They are condemned, in fact. So, what is normally recommended is Brihaspati Niti. Brihaspati Niti means that one should use good means to get good results. And if we look at the Mahabharata, that was what was tried exhaustively by the Pandavas. The Pandavas, when Bhima was poisoned, when they were placed in a house that was set on fire, through all that they maintained their peace. and they did not resort to violence. Now, violence itself is not an evil means, but even they didn't want to use violence, or to speak of any immoral means. Violence could have been a justified and moral response during such situations, but they did not do that because they wanted to minimize the harm they would cause to others. Now, even when Draupadi was disrobed and the Pandavas were humiliated by being dispossessed of their kingdom and all their wealth, still they maintained restraint. They did not violate the codes of dharma even then, because they were, as per the codes of morale, as per the conditions of the gambling match, they were supposed to be have become slaves of Yudhishthira, so of Duryodhana. So they accepted that and did not object to what happened. So the point here is that the Pandavas tried as much as possible to avoid using even violence, what to speak of anything immoral. And then the Pandavas went through the mortification of living 1 year Vajnatvas, and then they tried their best for peace by sending messengers, and eventually Krishna himself went. But nothing else worked. At that time, the Pandavas resolved to fight ethically. In fact, at the start of the war, Bhishma Pitamaha and Drishtadyumna, the two commanders, met, and then they discussed about the various war code that were to be followed. And Drishtadyumna made the point that we will not be the first to violate the war codes, but if the violation happens from the side of the Kauravas first, then we will respond accordingly. We will not follow morality in that case. So when this happened, at that time, actually speaking, there were some minor violations before Bhishma's fall, but Bhishma more or less ensured that no major violations of the war codes happened, because Bhishma himself was ethical. But once Bhishma fell, then Drona was attached to to Ashwatthama, and Ashwatthama was attached to Duryodhana. So through that bad association, Drona became to some extent contaminated, and he adopted the massive unethical act of killing Abhimanyu. And once that happened, then several other unethical things were adopted by the Pandavas also. Now, this is substantially different from what the terrorists do. If the Pandavas used unethical means, that was after all possible ethical efforts failed. That's the first thing. Second is, even if we call their means unethical, actually they are trans-ethical in the sense that they are sanctioned by God directly. But the important point is that they are directed only against the direct perpetrators of the atrocities. The Pandavas did not use their unethical means against innocent people. So modern Kshatriyas, today's terrorists, they often target only the innocent people. And if you see from the philosophical point of view also, many of these terrorists have a very narrow and distorted understanding of Islam, where they actually think that their mission is to convert the whole world to Islam. And not just to Islam, but to to the interpretation of Islam that is given by their particular creed. And if that is not, and those who do not get converted to that creed are going to go to hell. And they have a moral right to punish all such people and kill such people. Even kill them if required. So, some of these terrorists are coached by, we would say brainwashed better, indoctrinated and brainwashed by some Islamic fanatics who give a distorted interpretation of the Quran. There are many other Islamic thinkers who point out that Muhammad's teachings were quite tolerant. So, certainly what they do, does it have divine sanction? Not at all. It doesn't even have scriptural sanction from their own scriptures if we see it properly. But more importantly, from the normal ethical point of view, sometimes unfair means may be required for fair ends. But the unfair means should not target those who have never done anything unfair. So the Pandavas, even if they use unfair means, that was only against those who had themselves been hugely unfair, and not against the ordinary warriors. So, yes, Karna, we could say that Karna, Duryodhana, and other, and a few others were killed unethically. But the point is that that was the Pandavas tried as much as they could to use Brihaspati Niti. And when the Kauravas, far from sticking to Brihaspati Niti, used not just Shukra Niti but Kanika Niti, they used devious means for devious ends, then the Pandavas wanted, as per the will of Krishna, to demonstrate that in certain cases the ends do justify the means. However, there has to be extreme precaution. Firstly, this is not the normal standard of action. Secondly, this is to be used only against those who are the direct perpetrators of the misdeeds. And third is that we will see after the war, Yudhishthir himself expressed remorse, repentance at the extent of the bloodshed that had happened. So basically one should not at all be inclined towards destruction, what to speak of destruction by immoral means. And overall, even Bhishma Pitama, when he gives his instructions in the Mahabharata, recommends that ahimsa is the highest dharma. So there are only extreme situations, and even extreme situations, only when there is divine sanction. And even when there is divine sanction, it should be only against those people who are directly committing the atrocities, not innocent people who are just going around their lives and who are victimized for, practically speaking, no fault of theirs. Normally speaking, the Kshatriya code is followed that one should attack an enemy who is one's equal, who is armed, and who is alert. Now, in the case of terrorist attacks on innocent people, the terrorists are no equal, the common people are no equal to the terrorists. The terrorists often receive a lot of training and that common people are unarmed, and the common people, most terrorist attacks happen when the common people are unalert. So it's the antithesis of the Kshatriya code of fighting, and this can in no way be justified by the principles of morality that demonstrated through the Mahabharata, which in themselves are generally both the means and ends should be virtuous. And only occasionally in extreme situations, for virtuous ends, occasionally not so virtuous means can be used. Thank you.